Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the Red Light Podcast, recording number 68, Sanctify. I am Roy Wolfman, and I am joined today by the Dr. Chaotic.
Yep.
And Spice Tiefling.
Hiya.
And we will be reviewing the next episode of Shinitsu Kai Fao Kawasugi. Is it true? The scariest, the origin of Oiwa Secret, I believe it's called. I have to look at it.
Thereabouts,
yes. Yes, your intrepid duo get to investigate one of the oldest dolpas in human history. Yes, Superbook, thanks for joining us. Yetsuya Kaiden's Oiwa. A dolpa so real, you have to do a purification ritual just to keep her away. Ladies and gentlemen, your first thoughts.
Well, she technically fell under the she falls under Unrio.
Yes.
When you categorize her. In this they're putting her more as a tolpa, as being the collective consciousness, willing her into existence as being a force of, you know, I would guess, fury, rage.
Rage, yes.
The typical things we relate with Unrio's revenge.
Yes.
So, I guess to start off would be a quick little summary. We have a production company that wants to put on a show of, they're their own take of Oiwa's story. Mm-hmm. Only when they did the purification ritual at Oiwa's shrine in Tokyo, Oiwa rejected it, showing up behind the main star, who is dressed in what particular style?
Grado.
Yes.
Correction, they did the purification ritual at the set designer's home. Not her actual
shrine.
Shrine, yes. Yeah, so that's kind of a no-no. I mean, it's not...
Yeah.
You want to be
still pay respect.
Yeah.
Because this would be the equivalent of the Western world's version of Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
Or the otherwise known as the Scottish play amongst our theatrical listeners. There's a lot of superstitions that come with this play. You have to ask Oiwa for her blessing to put on any type of production of this. So you might say, well, why did Oiwa say, do this? Well, she disapproved because in the script writing, they had made three lines that kind of mocked Oiwa. Which is a big no-no. So the whole production goes awry. The actress playing Oiwa disappears. You know, so they come to our intrepid investigators with the tape and ask for their help.
Mm-hmm. I'll just ask something more.
Yeah, if you want to jump in here for here.
The actor who was to play her husband was caught up in an extortion plot.
The main actress?
Yes. Well, no, the main actor.
Oh, yes. Yeah, which kind of, that does mirror some of the plot of the original story that, you know, it was a lower class Ronin, you know, and, so he does take money, he does do things. And so it starts art imitating reality again. Mm-hmm.
And one of the other actresses, she suffered a little bit of a breakdown, a little bit of, wasn't feeling too well, but she didn't get the whole brunt of it.
Yeah. I mean, so she got off lightly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we bring the tape. for our investigators, they spot Oyua in the background, and so they're trying to, I guess, you know, Kudo throws himself with particular zeal at this, as he normally does.
And they're trying to figure out how to satisfy Oyua, more or less. Or scare away Oyua.
I don't think you can scare away an Amrio, but...
No.
No. So, hitting it is not going to help. So, let me think. What else happened? So, first they try to go and find the...
Find the actress Matsuyami.
Yeah. Her house looks like something out of... gosh. It's an absolute shambles. Things are ripped up. She's coming out. There's like a bandage over one of her eyes. Her hair is distorted. She's lost all of her hyper tan orange makeup, and her face is ghastly white. And she's looking like your typical Anrio. And she's telling them go away, and we start hearing a chant we've heard before in the series.
Yes.
And she says, "Go away, you murderer."
Which.
I mean, it's just made you touch on your heels a little bit. You're like, okay, listen, Kudo does have something of a body count at this point. I mean, if we're talking our paranormal helpers.
Yeah.
Inadvertently. So, you know, that was a little bit of a curious moment, but, you know. So, they also go back to the set designer's house to see, you know, okay, let's see where this was originally shot.
See if we can find anything that could
trigger her off. Kudo tries to provoke the girl, and so the girl comes at him with a knife.
Yeah.
And our cameraman's come in and just, like, swatted away, and they all flee. So, yay to our unsung hero. So, yeah, they go back to the set designer's house where they originally had the blessing done, and, you know, they have Ishikawa... or Miho Ishikawa, stand in the spot the actress was standing to see if they could replicate the shot. Exactly. And we see Oyua twice, and the actress once. Actually, no, the actress once, Oyua once, and then we see a white wisp over Ishikawa's, it would be her right eye.
Right
which
eye,
is
yeah.
where typically... The poison or the cursed medicine that was given to Oyua, it caused her eye to become infected or otherwise obstructed. So Ishikawa starts, you know, crying blood, and yeah, you know, she knows something's not right. So they try to do a prayer ceremony on her. So okay, we get into a new character, which is kind of great, and his name was
Dogen.
Dogen. So he is our version of, I guess the closest thing you could say is he's an exorcist, but he's in a very much the vein of John Constantine or Constantine, depending on where you live. He takes no shit. He just kind of sits his coward down, starts performing an exorcist where exorcism where things start sliding around. They start seeing images of Oyua. And of course.
This brought on one of Doc's favorite parts.
Yes. Doc, do you want to explain?
Okay. We're talking about the actual exorcism or whatever, right?
Yes.
Where our two brave men are losing their shit.
They're losing their shit while Dogen's
and
ready.
He's like, stay there! Don't move!
Dogen's like,
okay.
Don't move, because... you dumbasses.
Yeah, it was great.
Because the universe seems to make connections that I can't even fathom anymore. When Dogen is starting this exorcism ceremony, he's using a machine. And when I saw that machine, my first immediate thought was, oh, god damn it, it's Exorcist 2 all over again.
Damn it if he wasn't right.
Yeah.
I hate being right.
It's
I gave the... the concern to anybody who might be photosensitive, but luckily it didn't strobe that quickly. So we were pretty much in the clear there.
No, what it is it's an oscillator connected, an oscillation machine, you know, the machine that makes the weird waves every time it's your sound.
Yeah.
Connected to a lamp that pulsated light.
Yeah, that's a get hypnosis, and then
not, yeah, that induces hypnosis, and yeah. Not to exorcist too.
Yeah, my brain hurt after that. But while this is happening, basically, while the exorcist is going on, just weird, crazy shit's happening around. Tables are moving.
Yeah, well, he's putting her in a trance so he can communicate with, who has possessed her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or latched onto her in some way.
Yes. And Doc's getting possessed right now.
Hold up for. Would you stop moving that table, man? Get all the stuff on it.
No, that was. Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm very tired.
It's okay.
So, while all this is happening, things are freaking out. She has her hand in the water the whole time, which is holy water, because of course it is.
Well, yeah, and she's holding on to a bare wire in the other hand. I'm sitting there going, okay, is she going to be electrocuted? Because this is going in a direction I didn't see going.
Yes. Yeah.
Thankfully, it did not.
Yeah, then you had a moment where she tears one of the tatami doors off the dojo and had her image spin around on it like it was a fucking
boy was on the
card
other side
at the end of Persona,
which is sort of a
yeah
callback.
Like it was
yeah as I said it was a callback to the play because her last time you see her she's pushed off onto a tatami door into
so
the river
insulting.
To drown
right
I mean that's how you get an embryo man
mm-hmm. Yeah so after all this happens, and
wait, doesn't she have a giant floating head pops up if he like directly challenges? So it's Oyo's head comes out with the snaky
mm-hmm.
appendages.
Yeah, that's also another callback when her husband finally marries upward, and
yeah.
The wedding ceremony Oyo's head shows up on it to a lantern.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is mostly a lot of references. That
yes.
Yeah.
If you know the play, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Note to self.
So,
show Doc Yatsuya Kaiden.
Great. I'm going to be cursed. Thanks, Ren.
Well,
we just
got to
do the purification ceremony. That's all.
Yeah, so while all of this happened, and then everything's all right, and it's suddenly revealed that apparently Oya is a servant to a bigger demon, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
like an evil god.
An ancient god.
Yeah, god. Which immediately my bot goes into, shit, we summoned Cthulhu.
Maybe.
And I know it's like, and I know it's like, oh, isn't there
god.
Other... You couldn't mention other elder gods. That is true.
There's what the big goddess of hell,
mm-hmm.
which was the first woman. I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a dark god.
You're not quite sure.
It
could be the judge of hell, Enma.
Could be that too, yeah.
Yeah.
But we
find out the root is still in her.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't
in
quite.
In the actress, yeah.
Well, the root is still in Ishikawa. But Oya was still possessing
the
actress.
Matsuya Ami,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Matsuya Ami, ladies and gentlemen, too far gone. She's just been possessed to the extreme.
Yeah.
There's nothing else one could do.
So, yeah. So the exorcist proceeds to shank her. And,
which causes an interdimensional portal to open up.
Mm-hmm.
Because reasons.
Yeah, reasons.
Yeah, which allows the worm in Ishikawa's eye from earlier. Oh, yeah, did we not mention that?
That's oh, yeah, thing. Yeah. So there's a worm coming out from Ishikawa's eye, and then worms coming out from the possessed actress's
yeah.
eye. And, you know,
Worm fight.
Poor Dugan is trying to figure out which one to go after. Because he's stuck right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then the worm, I guess by magnetic pull, forces Ishikawa to go into the interdimensional portal.
Yes.
So that causes Kudo to wrap up the talisman around his fist, because...
Oh, we missed one point.
Fuck it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we missed a big part. There was a lot that happened here.
Yeah, this is sort of a tying up of loose ends.
From the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I forgot, before the true exorcism, Kudo mentions the package they got from the medium from the first episode, right?
Yes. Yeah it from was Inui, the medium that helped them with the Kinesitioyo.
Hanako. Which turns out she committed suicide.
Yeah, but her last thing was to give him this bag that he could finally contain the cursed talisman.
And yes.
But it would make it grow bigger and more powerful. But it looked like a burlap bag or something, or I couldn't quite describe it to you.
Wrapped around in rope.
Yeah. So he could put in there, but when he put the talismans in there, mm-hmm. they kind of unraveled, so he could put his hand in and he can use it to, like, punch things.
Yes.
Don't know how he came to that conclusion, but okay. I don't know if Kudo ever actually paid the medium for this, but that's another supernatural or preternatural helper who's died. So that's what? 1, 2, 4?
4.
Oh, God. 4. Yeah. Okay.
You got the hobo. You got Igate.
Okay.
You got
Makabe.
Makabe.
Oh, poor Makabe.
And then
this lady.
The medium.
And
so that's 4.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is the black cat of the investigative world. I was just like, you got a different agency.
Also, in the whole idea of why he thinks it's a good idea to punch things, I kind of take it as like what happens when you take a D&D 5e monk to a haunted house.
Murder hobos.
Well, that, and you can punch ghosts.
Well, he also does have an uncontained anger issue. I think we're seeing that more and more as things go on, because he doesn't really have a problem unleashing it on people. Where he has an explosive temper. And I mean, sometimes, rightfully so, other times, you're just... You're waiting for karma to give him that good old slap.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yes.
Kudo pulls out the hair talisman, which, Dogen's not too happy about. And he just kind of goes to hit, what did he hit?
No, he wraps his talisman around his fist, socks Dogen in the face, and then goes into the portal.
Oh, yeah. Because Dogen was trying to stop him from saving Ishikawa.
Because mm-hmm. he was about to say, he's trying to say to let it pass.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Kudo is like, fuck you!
And jumps in after, mm-hmm. and of course our cameraman's there as well.
Because you have to get the shot.
You got to get the shot.
I mean,
you got to get the shot.
If it's not in frame, it doesn't exist.
Right. And they just realized they recorded the other side, so they want to make sure they get as much footage as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't they do a little bit of a... Wait, didn't they have them talking to also a paranormal investigator that gave the idea of this is what could create...
The
misfortunes around Oiwa is something about the tulpa.
The parapsychology professor.
Parapsychology professor, yes.
Yeah,
so we saw who also
shared some further information in the end.
Yeah, talking about how even though technically Oya is a fictional character, the belief mm-hmm. in Oya turned her into a real thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the idea of what we would call a tulpa. Mm-hmm. Now, Rory, do you want to explain a little bit more about the idea of a tulpa?
Okay. A tulpa is a collective energy made form. It's where it's a character, good, bad, or ugly, that is much beloved and given so much power they can become a living being. sentient being. War consciousness puts the energy into it. Famous one would be Sherlock Holmes.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus would be another one, yes.
Krampus.
Krampus is still working on it. The current one would be Slender Man.
Yeah, to a lesser extent. I think he's kind of... I think his thing's kind of faded off a little bit more recent years. But, I mean, anything that you believe in so much that inspires a devotion or it brings to thought, it's your belief and it consistently makes it real to you or a collective manifestation. Mm-hmm. So if you believe in Iowa, and all respects to Iowa, just so we don't get cursed for this.
Iowa believes in you.
Yeah, certainly knows where to find you.
Where to find you, of course, yeah.
Yes. So if we'll just say hypothetically, any Unria, if you believe strongly enough in that story you were told as a child, and you were raised culturally with your belief and your respect and that level of, I would say, almost biblical, like, awe and terror, makes it real. It gives it power. Sort of like the whole idea behind American Gods. Your belief in them gives them the power they need in order to stay real in this world and be able to do their shtick.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, and nothing's more inspiring than something that could terrify you or could bring you harm. And yes, thank you, Doggo, for waking up.
It's Oiwa, she's come back.
Well, we'll see if she does the kick the dog trope. No, I love my dog. But that's the idea behind a tulpa, is you could physically manifest it into the real world with you. So that's sort of what we got out of the paranormal scholar, I guess, or investigator, or whatever you want to call him.
But we also find out that the author belonged to a village that was rumored to be a village of sorcerers.
Yes, because witches or wizards kind of give us a moment of saying... you're a wizard, Harry.
Yes.
So, yeah, or you could say cultists if you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Shaman. But powerful sorcerers.
Yes.
I think that's what we settled on.
Yes.
So, yeah, he jumps into the portal to go rescue Eschatawa. So we have our Magnificent Three in there. And then Dogen stays outside, but we do get the intervention of
Makabe
to help get them back out. So, but Makabe is also defeated by this darkness. So there's some bigger looming threat we're not seeing that is starting to become a little bit more known.
Yeah.
So after they come back out in the now, I guess, disappeared actress's home from the portal, with Hogan kind of looking at them like, what did you just do? I think he had more of a pay me motherfucker look, but I think they kind of wrapped up the case and then he was really excited about what? Turning this into a movie?
You found out that they found coordinates for the city.
The cursed village.
The cursed village that the author was from.
Yeah. So they said, okay, let's take this lead and chase it down.
And let's make it a movie.
Yeah. Of course, this is Kudo's idea. Nobody else's but Kudo's idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much where the episode leaves off.
Yes.
So... I guess thoughts?
One of my favorite episodes.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that we went with a classic Unrio.
Yes.
She is definitely one of the most well-known real Unrios. And I say that in Japanese culture. One of the most well-known that inspired a lot of the other ones that came. Mm-hmm. The other one being at... the castle, the one in the well with the plates. The 10 golden plates.
Oh.
And strange enough, I did, when I was in Japan, I did visit her well. Mm-hmm. So that was a very tragic story. But, yeah. But I thought it was nice that we got back to understanding a little bit more of maybe the psychology behind some of these appearances. That, mm-hmm. okay, this could be a collective consciousness or fears of your society or people, or specifically the artistic community, art imitating life.
Yes.
Because when you think of an actor, they do have to take on the role. And my God, if you're a method actor, good God, maybe don't take this role on. But also,
yeah.
understanding and respecting the material and the dangers of disbelief or disrespectfulness. Mm-hmm. towards the source material and what could potentially happen. And I mean, it was three little lines that insulted Oiwa in their rendition of this, which was a big, man, I'm happy we don't have like avatars to see how hard I was cringing going, oh.
I believe the story you were talking about was the Bansho Saradashiki. Which yep. talked about the Kaidan Oikiku.
Oh, yeah, Okiku's, well, yes. Okiku, yes. Outside of. Let me check my phone. I have pictures of it. Anyway, outside one of the biggest castles you're ever going to see in Japan, which I would definitely recommend if you have the ability to get there, go, have fun. Wear nice, clean socks.
In the Haruma province.
Let me see. Actually, I'm looking at the placard now. Okiki's Well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It is... Features the ghost story. Yep, you just said it. Around the 1500s. Ayome Tetsuzan, the regent lord of Himenji Castle. Kodo Notomo... Sorry, I will butcher Japanese. Every plotted to kill Norimoto and take over the castle. The loyal retainer
mm-hmm.
arranged for Okiku to serve as the maid in the house and ascertain the plans. Once they learn of the would-be assassin's plan to kill the lord, Okiku passed the word on to Montemoto. Motonubi, and allowed Motonubi to escape death by fleeing to the island. But Tetsuzan seized control of the castle. Okiku learned of the action and forced her into marriage in exchange for sparing life, but yearning for Motonubi. Okiku mm-hmm. turned him down, unable to bear the rejection. He hid one of the templates, but they were treasured possessions of the family. And framed her for it. And unfortunately, the rest of the placard gets cut off by my phone. But, you know. So it's, she always has the 9 plates, but 1 gold plate is missing. So if you go there and you're a man, you should be very, very nervous. But you can hear at certain hours of the night that she is counting up to 9. And then when she gets to the 10th plate that's missing, she screams and throws herself into the well.
Okay.
Which is just a horrible, horrible thing. So, Jeff, a lot of coins are down in that well. And there is a grate over it now. So, yeah, inspiration of Ringo. Sorry, weird tangents.
One of the inspirations, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a collector, what we say, collective consciousness of wrongs done to women mm-hmm. and seeking revenge through, you know, the afterlife.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, easily yeah. one of my favorite episodes. It had a good structure to it. They tied up some loose ends. They brought in some more loose ends we need to focus on.
Great new character.
Yes. Dojin is a good character.
he seems to be the gruff level head who could, you know, bang heads against Kudo,
yes,
reasonably well. And they both have very forceful personalities, so it's kind of fun to see them kind of get on each other's nerves.
Yes.
It definitely is fun, and I can definitely enjoy it. Although there is supposed to be the problem of sense, there's the whole thing about tying up loose ends. It kind of feels like they're just throwing a lot of stuff at you at once.
Yeah, does have that feeling.
Yeah. It feels like you're building up to something again.
Building to something,
You're telling me that the one we had in the with the slip mouth woman,
Kijisaki
Ona, the medium just Inari. So happened to unalive herself, but send this package to him in this time of need. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, well, at least the fanny pack's dead. Now the backpack is alive. So, I'm still all for burning it, but okay. It seemed to, well, he wraps her in his hand and I don't know, just starts punching people with it.
He's doing the scientific method, yes.
Okay.
At least that's what I call
Excuse me, sir.
The scientific method.
If I can't understand it with science, I'm going to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
If all else
fails, hit it.
Hit it harder.
Yes.
Yeah. It was fun. It had some good special effects. It certainly didn't have the, you know, again, we're getting the weird other world connection, which again showed in part of the tape that they linked to the images they saw when they went through
Hanako.
Yeah, Hanako's thing, which was that how that started the episode off?
Yes, they've
things they didn't recall, they so
recorded the.
Yeah, they were looking at the Hanako recordings to see, you know, what the tape had actually caught, and they said it was like a dream. They didn't remember it until they saw it, but now that they saw it on tape, they remember it.
Yeah,
you know, so I guess the other world is something your brain just can't comprehend and tries to forcibly eject out. But now the other side, you know, it seems like the other side is like, okay, I see you now. So they're more keenly aware to look what to be on the lookout for. So when they see this in the tape that was brought to them by the studio or the company, they're more willing to say, okay, this has something paranormal, or the other side is here. This is something we really have to get some credibility to, other than it being, you know, just a ghost story or superstition. Not that I think anybody would think this would be, but you know.
Of course.
So in that sense, it did showcase every member. It did give Dogen a new place in the team.
Yeah.
Interesting sets again. Anytime they appear, not everybody's going to make it back.
No.
No. You know somebody's not going to make it back. So this time we had two go down.
Yes.
The actress and the medium.
Medium.
From episode one.
Yes. So we know
tying up loose ends there.
We kind of know that no one's going to make it out of these episodes.
Yeah.
Everyone is suspect.
Well, you're cursed.
Yes.
These are curses. I mean, we've heard nothing but every episode a curse has been leveled, whether it's from an Unrio, a Kappa, or a weird, I have no freaking idea still how to describe episode two.
Well, we kind of got an answer, but.
Shimmer. The shimmering ghost kind of ordeal.
Yes.
We'll just call it that. The shivering ghost. I'm going to always call it the shimmer. You know, there's been a curse throughout. And, you know, the more you keep diving and what is that old saying? The longer you look in the void, the void looks back into you.
Yeah, the more longer you look in the abyss, the abyss
stares back at you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they're getting in too deep. And now Kudo wants to do a movie.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, Kudo is driven.
He's overly ecstatic.
Yeah, and you can see, like, Ishikawa looks like...
The raise ain't worth for this shit.
Yeah, yeah, he did offer them a raise, and they're like, yeah, okay.
Is the raise really worth it?
No, it's not.
Is it?
No, it isn't.
Is it?
Considering she gets hit every other episode, no.
And it's half the time, it's not even by the ghost, it's by him.
I mean, it's freaking snake worm thing came out of her eye.
Yes.
No. This is where I'd be packing it in and saying, well, bye. I'll see you finally in therapy.
And I feel bad for Ishikawa. I mean, if it isn't dealing with all these yokai and onyo and other manner beasts, he's got to deal with Kudo. And his gambling
the greatest
problem.
Hazard. Oh yeah, he's a degenerate gambler. He bets on horse races. Yeah. And he said something like, what is it, he had a dream?
Mm-hmm.
About the film or something?
Yeah, he had a dream that Makabe was telling him that this next case is tied to his parents' death.
Yeah, which is the first time you're sitting there going, wait, he has some kind of latent supernatural powers? Or he's kind of a...
Psychic abilities, maybe?
Yeah, latent psychic abilities here. Like, wait, hold up. You just threw a little bit of a change up on us. But to hear he's a degenerate gambler, you're like, no, that fits. I would not want to stand next to Kudo during a horse racing.
Definitely not a fortune teller, that's for sure.
No. Yeah. No, I don't think you can see the majority of stuff coming.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, this is the end of Makabe.
Let's put it this way. In terms of a fortune teller, he could see a train coming an inch away.
That's actually fairly accurate. We do see other people. It's nice to see our cameraman / actual director.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defending the crew a little bit more during attacks. And,
yes.
You know, there's certain things even he won't shoot to give people privacy. So that was kind of, it's interesting because you're getting more fleshed out characters. I think in this one we had Ishikawa has her hair. It's now more reddish, I would say reddish brown. And it's cut short, so she's starting to change a little bit more.
Yes.
Do we want to go into the middle episodes that you sent us behind? Do you want to describe the shorts?
When Koji put out these movies, he put them out like you would put out Shinitsu on DVD. Interviews, quote unquote interviews, with experts, and then he would like add a short or two that's outside the footage that we are seeing.
So it's extra bonus footage.
Bonus footage, yes.
For it, yeah, to give you some flesh out the world that we didn't get to see. That wouldn't otherwise be recorded.
Yes.
By our cameraman.
Right.
So things we shouldn't be privy to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would call them asides.
Yes. They're little extras. They're giving you a little bit extra into what's going on. Like, the first one is Yano's friend, Kiri.
Becky.
No. The first one I showed you. Goodbye.
Oh. Yeah.
Where Yano's friend's being visited by a childhood friend. And Kurisucha Ona decides to strike on him. And turn him into a werekappa.
That was weird.
It was.
Kind of fun, though.
Mm-hmm. And then we get Kudo's secret. Finding out that the Konosuchi Ona case affected Kudo in some way.
Yeah.
And Tanachi, was it Tachi? The cameraman is trying to figure out why, and then he gets visited by his spiritual doppelganger.
Oh, yeah, that falls back into his body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that one. And again, my scream of kill your doppelganger.
Yes.
Always rings out. So, remember, kids, unless you have an identical twin, kill your doppelganger. Actually, don't do that. That's very bad advice. Don't kill anybody.
You don't know if that doppelganger is a temporal doppelganger or a real doppelganger.
What if you're the evil twin?
Then you would turn your...
But yeah, it was...
Twin.
It was great to see both of them kind of freak out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I guess, what would you call that? Like, astral projection?
Astral projection, maybe, yeah.
But he was falling back into himself.
Maybe it was something he was... The thing I saw, my interpretation of it was...
Yeah, it confused me a bit.
My interpretation of it was that he accidentally triggered a skill he might not know he had.
Oh, okay.
Like separating because himself. Because the case affected him so much.
So did he go into the further?
Maybe.
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 I'm sorry. I kept getting... what was it called? Insidious flashback.
Yeah.
Into the further you go. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well... You know, and every time we go into the portal, it looks like it's something out of like a Bad Boys and Ivy.
Yes.
Bad Boys and Ivy cutscene.
Ectoplasmic snakes.
I guess we're in the green here. And then what was our last one?
The Other Side.
So that had to do with...
Ishikawa and Becky.
And Becky.
From
so
the
Becky
Shimmering
being,
Ghost. Yeah.
Yep. The one who's... Boyfriend was stepping out with her best friend.
And disappeared.
And she reveals, yet she kind of knew her best friend was stepping out with her boyfriend, but she was okay with it. And then she starts hitting on Ishikawa, and Ishikawa's like, no, not really into this. And I mean, she starts getting yandere levels of forcefulness where she starts pulling out a knife and then... proceeds to threaten to cut her own wrists, and you're like, oh, okay, we have veered hard here. And she's like, then she just starts erupting into laughter that she played a great prank on her. And of course, Ishikawa is pissed off because, you know, that's a lot of things to throw on somebody. I'm sure she feels, you know, fairly guilty or upset about what happened to the girl and to other people, and you know, Kudo did get hurt, and for this girl to kind of throw that kind of, you know, almost forcefully attack her and say, that wasn't a joke. That wasn't anything.
No.
And then we see her staring up, and she's just kind of. She's looking up into the sky, and then finally she opens a window, and she just right out the window and self-deletes herself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess we can add that to the death count of nobody's getting out of this alive.
Yeah.
I mean, this time you go, okay, was this Ishikawa or this?
No.
We still add this up to Kudo.
No, it's... That don't count.
I mean, that's more of,
that's a circumstance issue.
A person, existential circumstances. And by the way, if you are feeling any mental health crises, please seek help.
Yes.
Do not, you know, you're not alone. Please find the appropriate mental health counselors or call a hotline.
Granted, it's a lot coming from Well, from Spice, it's fine, but there's a lot coming from the two guys that had a running joke about the guys that attempted suicide for a while, but...
Yes. But I mean it in jest.
I'm just concerned about our listeners, because... It's a lot, sometimes.
It is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that ended the fun little asides, and I say fun with air quotes. But definitely the Kappa one I thought was great. The
goodbye? Yeah.
Yeah, the Kappa woman and the one Pluto falling into himself was great. The last one kind of threw me for a little bit of a loop because I was not expecting it.
I didn't expect it either. Did you expect a duck?
Where the girl went all Yandere chan.
No, but honestly, the more and more it goes, the more and more it's like, expect the other sected, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of pulling out all the stops up to the lead up for what will be the movie. So, I mean, in this sense, it's whet your appetite. You're still a little off balance, but you're like, okay, we got a stabilizing force of an exorcist here added to the party. So, you know, okay. So now we have a nice little four group.
Yes.
So hopefully, you know, our exorcist will be able to balance out Pluto's bad temper, though they both have equally bad tempers.
Yes, they need an interventionist.
They need tranquilizers. Every time Pluto starts up, just glow dart him.
Pluto needs church.
Pluto needs something. Less alcohol, less coffee, less cigarettes, less horse races.
A lot less horse races.
Way less horse races. Finnish Power said, how can you afford that when you spend so much at the track?
Mm-hmm.
Which he looks so insulted by.
Yeah, he really...
He looks hurt.
Hurt, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd expect that response from him. Like, oh, that's a moment of vulnerability. We don't normally get that from him. Okay. Like, wow, Ishikawa.
Mm-hmm.
Found the chink in the armor. Go.
Got some ammo there.
Mm-hmm. I guess you could just call him the degenerate, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it would phase him often. Nah. So, final thoughts?
Definitely look forward to this one if you're watching the series.
Yeah.
Well built.
Wasn't as fun as the Kappa, but but pretty good.
Mm-hmm. About as fun as Hanako.
Of course.
Yeah. On that level. It's still good. It's just it's not as up there as some of the other ones we've seen so far.
It was less action-packed, I would say.
It was
more... Until the very last third.
Right. It felt like a Zenitsu.
Yeah.
You know, or
you're doing the investigation.
If you've seen Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters, it felt very procedural.
Yes.
Anything you guys want to promote?
I guess, you know, we'd recommend picking up the, where you're going to have to do the name of the book or the
the Japanese name of the
book better than... Yep, please pick that up. That's also the 1,000 Tales.
Yes, the 1,000 Ghost Tales.
Yes, we do recommend reading that if you would like to know more about these particular ghosts, the ghost stories, and the wonderful wealth of yokai in Japan.
Search out 1,001 Yokai Collection at Arrow Films.
That's also a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, you have anything?
Not really, honestly. Because as much as I would like to, this is kind of not my this is not my specific field.
This is not your bag, baby.
This ain't your real house, baby.
Pretty much.
That's okay.
That's all right. You can join us here at the Red Light only at the Wolf's Den Productions on Podbean.com. Your home videos is our horror. We also do a little shindig called The Starlight, your rare and obscure, hard-to-find films. You can be seen right here. By the way, Doc, put down Yetsuei Kaiden. We're going to put that in our season somewhere.
Mm. Are we going to do Takashimike's
Over Your Dead Body? Yes.
Yes!
I would love to do that with Yetsuei Kaiden.
Yes.
Coming soon. You got some love mail, some hand mail, some Oiwa mail, some Onryo mail, some Yetsuei Kaiden mail, some purification mail. Send it to starlightpodcast@protonmail.com. You can also catch some of my movie reviews and lists over at criticlist.com. We'd love to have you. Love to have you read our stuff. Come on over. Check us out. Anything else? This has been recording number 68. Sanctify. There we go. That's it. That pops. Thank you for joining us. Have a nice evening. Goodbye.